word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is your word that gives us wisdom, makes us wise unto salvation. Without it, O God, we'll be left to ourselves, floundering in the dark. But oh, how merciful you have been to us, O God, in revealing yourself to us through your word, and most clearly through Christ our Lord, that in him we can approach you as our God, our Father, our Savior. So as we'll be considering your word this evening, this afternoon, we ask that you may open the eyes of our hearts, that indeed we may behold the wonderful things that you have laid down in your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be found to be pleasing to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer through Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 67, let's once again pay reverent attention to God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant words. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity, and guide the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Don't you love the sound of those words? These are words of jubilation, exaltation, joy, and praise and adoration to our God. And this is what we'll be considering in our time together this afternoon. Let the nations be glad. That's the note that is really being sounded so high in this particular text. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. The psalmist begins with a petition, a prayer, a request that is being made to God. And this is very instructive to us. And I want us to just consider, as we begin to look at this text together, what the psalmist is praying about and why. That's basically that's the line of thought we're going to take together. What is he praying about and why? And then after we've done that, we'll try to consider, what does it matter to us? Why is he praying about, what is it that he is concerned to pray about? And why is it so important for him to pray for that? And then why does it matter to us? Why should we care, in other words? So let's look at the text. If you have your Bibles, I would like to ask you that you keep them open and we can follow along. This is important anytime you are listening to the Word of God, because you want to make sure that what you are hearing is in agreement with what is in here. Alright, so if you have your Bible, look with me at verse 1. The prayer is beginning like this. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us. That's a prayer. God be gracious to us. God bless us. That's what he's praying. And before we even go any further there, I think there's something for us to learn from. We need to learn to ask for blessings from the Lord. We need to learn to ask for grace and mercy from the Lord. And God alone is the only one that can give us the mercy and the grace and the blessings that we need in our lives. He is our benefactor. We are his beneficiaries, because we are his people, chosen by grace through in Christ to be a people for himself, a people for his own possession. And because he is our God, we can come to him as our Father and ask him to bless us. There's nothing wrong with coming to God and saying, Lord, I need your blessing today. Bless me. Be gracious to me. May God be gracious to us. And there you see in the psalmist's words a clear and total dependence on God. He's dependent on the Lord, and he knows it, and he voices it with his words, with his lips. The reason some of us don't even bother to ask God to bless us is because we're too dependent on ourselves. We think we don't need God's blessing. We think we can make it on our own. We don't realize how dependent we are on the Lord, not only every hour, but moment by moment. Someone has written the song, "I Need Thee Every Hour." You may have sung that. I agree with the general principle of that song. But I don't need God only every hour. I need Him every moment of my existence. I'm that dependent on God. And the psalmist understood that. He also understood how wonderful God is and how good He is. That He is able, not only able, but also willing to bless. Sometimes I hear people pray as if God is so reluctant to hear and answer the prayers that they pray. As if they're not even sure God cares. And I'm reminded of the story that we find in the Gospel of Mark, where this man who had a boy possessed with demons comes to Jesus for help. And do you remember how he asks Jesus to help him in Mark chapter 9? He says, "If you are willing." "I think you are able, but I don't know if you are willing." No. God is not only able, but He's also willing to bless. And so when you approach God, the throne of God in prayer, you can pray with boldness, "Lord, bless me," because you know He's able and willing at the same time to bless you. And you and I as Christians, we can do so through Christ, because that's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 and 16. That we have a high priest who understands our lives, our situations. And because of that, the Bible says, "Therefore, let us boldly come into the throne of grace, so that we may find mercy and grace to help us in times of need." You want to talk about sin and temptation? Christ was tempted, just like us, and yet without sin. And because of that, then we can approach God's throne of grace and ask for blessing with confidence. So that's the psalmist's prayer. May God be gracious to us. He realizes his total and utter dependence on the Lord. If the psalmist had stopped there, this would not have been a good prayer to emulate. Because so far, it all looks like it's just about me. So selfish, right? May God be gracious to us. May God bless us. And make His face to shine upon us. Whoa, this sounds very selfish to me. Seems like it's all about you. But I'm thankful that He doesn't stop there. And the rest of this chapter is very helpful then in how we understand why he's praying this particular prayer and why it's a good idea for us to emulate this example. He gives us now the reasons. The reason why he's praying this prayer. If you look again at the text, I'm going to read from verse 2. "Listen carefully. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth." Selah. Pause and reflect on this. And then he goes on. "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." So in verses 2 to 5, he gives us the reason why he's imploring God and pleading with him for mercy and grace and blessing. The reason is so that your name may be glorified. So that your name may be praised among the nations. And far from being selfish and self-centered, this is actually one of the most God-centered prayers you'll find anywhere. Because the reason the psalmist is praying for God's grace, God's mercy, and God's blessings is that through that, the world might know that there is a God in heaven. The reason the psalmist is praying that God should bless him, that God should be gracious to him, that God would make his face to shine upon him, is so that God may be glorified. And there, I find something that convicts me. I don't know if it convicts you. You can judge for yourself. The reason God does not answer most of my prayers is because I'm only focusing on myself. Me, myself, and I. Look at the psalmist, the words he's using. Verse 2, that your way, not my way, your way may be known. Your saving power, not mine, your saving power. That the people may praise you. Verse 3. He repeats that. Let the peoples praise you. Verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge with the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The psalmist understands something that you and I too need to understand. And this is also what God communicated to our forefather Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. This is what the psalmist understood. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Are we together? Are you following what I'm saying? God blesses us in order that we might be a blessing to others, and then the end result of that, he gets the glory. Do you see how that works? And so then let me go back to one thing I said a few moments ago. The reason God does not answer some of your prayers and my prayers is because we're too self-focused. And God will not have it that way. But when we open ourselves up to God and His will and His way, and allow our lives to be the means of bringing greater glory to God, then God loves that. Because God is so passionate for His own glory. He wants His name to be known among all the earth. Everything He does it for this one reason, for His glory. And so if you love the glory of God, God will love you and He'll bless you in turn. It's not other way. It doesn't work any other way. And so then I ask myself the question, how much do I love God's glory? How passionate am I for the glory of God? Do I really care? Is it something that really consumes me and everything I do? Right, I mentioned Genesis chapter 12. You want to just turn there for a few minutes. In Genesis chapter 12, God is speaking to Abraham. And at the beginning of Genesis 12, we read the following words. Now, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I'll make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. Verse 2, I'll bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I think the psalmist understood that. I don't know if you understand that. And some of you, and I think to various degrees, all of us here have been blessed by God in so many ways. I love this song that I've learned for a number of years now. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and you'll be surprised what the Lord has done. I think if we were to be honest, each one of us, we have received so many blessings from the Lord. Material blessings, and most of all, spiritual blessings. If you are a Christian here this afternoon, you have been given the greatest blessing that can be given to any man. The question is, does your life then honor God? Are you living for the praise of God and for the blessing of his people where you are and among the nations? See, it ought to be the desire of every child of God to see to it that God's name is made great among all the nations. In other words, to do whatever you can to make sure that that happens, because that is what God is all about. Please turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 1 verse 11. I want to show you what I mean by that. And I want you to understand that what I'm saying is not something I'm just making up. It is actually from the very word of God himself. God does everything for his own glory. He is so passionate for his glory. And he's decreed that it will be so. So in Malachi chapter 1, verse 11, we read these words. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. In Psalm 113 verse 3, you hear almost the very exact words. My name will be made great among the nations, from the rising of the sun even to its setting. You can see that also in Psalm 113 verse 3. And when you read the story of the children of Israel, how God redeemed them from the house of bondage in Egypt, and then later on you read about what was happening there with Pharaoh and the children of Israel and God. God actually had raised Pharaoh up so that he would be glorified. God raised, I've raised you up so that my name may be known among the nations. God loves his glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught us that, actually. When he taught the disciples how to pray, do you remember what the first petition was? Our Father who art in heaven, what? Hallowed be thy name. Let your name be glorified. Let your name be hallowed. Praise. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Before we could even begin to ask for daily bread and all the other things that follow. Because the Lord Jesus wanted to make sure that at the very heart and center of the life of the disciples and their prayers is the glory of God. Because God is working all things towards this goal. For the earth, the day is coming when the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, even as the waters cover the sea. quote, this is the verse for Canada, Psalm 72, verse 8. May he have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. That should be your prayer, as well as mine. That's why we sang at the beginning, Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. We don't just sing those words. We sing that because it's in the Bible. It expresses what God is all about, what he's doing, and what he wants us to be passionate about. Now, some of you might be thinking, this sounds too overwhelming for me. I don't know if I can get that excited about the glory of God. When I look around me, I'm just depressed enough to see so many people who don't worship God, let alone around the world. I don't think there's any place for me in this. I don't fit in this big vision. It's just too grand for me. You're right. It is too grand for you and for everyone else, but not for God. He will do it. He will do it with you or without you. But it's our privilege. God calls us to get involved in what he has already decreed will happen. And so if you decide not to get involved with God, God doesn't lose anything. You're the loser. I am the loser. He will do what he has purposed to do no matter what. And it's our privilege to get involved in something like that, that is guaranteed success. And the day is coming when every knee, the Bible says, will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And the difference is, some are going to worship God in mercy, some are going to worship God in judgment. Because look at our text here. The text says, God judges righteously. God will not judge anybody unrighteously. His judgment is based on truth. So those who choose not to live their lives to the glory of God will one day worship him as Lord, but in judgment, not in mercy. And the psalmist here is careful to put that, and I'm glad he put that in Psalm 67. Let the nations be glad in you, verse 4, and sing for joy, for you judge the people with equity and guard the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. And he finished by going back, in a sense, to where we began, as we look at verses 6 and 7. And there we read, the earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. You see that? He's ending pretty much in the same way he began. And there's a point, I think, to be noted there that is very important. As we commit ourselves to the worship and the glory of God, he actually makes our creature comforts really comfortable, real blessings to us, that we actually get to enjoy them too. The land gives its increase. You know, there are people who have many what would call material blessings, but they have not been given the corresponding grace to enjoy them. Do you know that? They are so wealthy, so rich, everything is good, but they can't sleep. There's no peace in their hearts and in their minds. They have everything, humanly speaking, anybody could long for. They have a wife, they have children, they have a home, they have all kinds of cars, they have all kinds of money. They don't even know what to do with their money. But they can't enjoy any of that. Because the blessing of God is not there. That's why, again, it's so vital for us that we pray for God's blessing. And as we do so, as we pray that God should bless us, we also pray that he'll give us the corresponding grace to enjoy his blessings. And in the enjoyment of his blessings, to be careful to give him the glory that he deserves. Are we together? Are you following the thoughts of the psalmist here? This is why it matters to us that we pay attention to this. So we've seen what he prayed for. We've seen why. And here we're being shown why it matters to you and to me. And then the question is, how do we respond? Well, we need to understand a few things. Basically, two things. You are totally dependent on God for everything. And so am I. Secondly, God loves his glory. And so then let us be careful to give him the glory he deserves. Because for this purpose, we were made. I was brought up in the Presbyterian circles. And you have the Heidelberg Catechism, and the first question in the Catechism is wonderful, as is also the one we have in the Shorter Catechism. What is man's chief end? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. For this purpose, you, me, and every living creature on the face of the earth was made. So remember these two things. You are totally dependent on God. And so don't be shy to ask him for blessings or to acknowledge that before him and others. And don't be too proud to ask for his blessing. You need him for everything. Material blessings and most of all, spiritual blessings. No one can come to God on his own. It's a gift of grace that he gives to us in Christ. And thereby we are saved. Because he is the one who paid the full price for our sins. We are totally dependent on him for our salvation, as for everything else. And secondly, following that, he deserves the glory. So then let's make it our chief aim. Each one of us, whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, let's do all to the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray together. We thank you, O God. We praise you, O God, for your words, for your instruction this afternoon. I am convicted, and I ask for your forgiveness, Lord, for the many times that I've been so selfish and so self-centered in my prayers. I ask and yet do not receive, because often we find ourselves requesting things from you just for our own use, not for your glory and your purposes. But as we've been taught in your word, Lord, we pray that you help us to do better, to be different, change us. We pray that even our prayers may reflect your glory, not anything to do with us, because you are most concerned not about us and our need, but you and your glory. But thank you, O God, that you choose to bless us and to use our lives to display your glory among the nations. And Lord, it is our passionate desire, make it our passionate desire, to see the glory of God in our own lives, but also in the lives of others around us here in Surrey, in this part of Canada and around the world. Oh God, show us your mercy and bless us in your grace. May you cause your face to shine upon us, that your way that is most holy on earth may be known, and unto every people your saving grace be known. So we pray with the psalmist that let peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let nations be glad in you. Let them sing and rejoice, because you are God who judges with equity. Oh, thank you, God, that you will bless us. True blessings will come to us through Jesus Christ. And we long for the day when we shall be in your presence forever, enjoying your blessings, enjoying your presence, and glorifying your name among the saints, your people from every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue. Until that day, we pray that we keep our eyes focused on you, for Jesus' sake.